again. I'm always encouraged and blessed when I come here to see what God is doing. I want to acknowledge the man of the house, the set man, Reverend Kwame John Dompre. I'm really grateful for Pastor John and Vivian, his beautiful, lovely wife, beautiful inside and out. And we're grateful for our relationship all these years. Please excuse her. Praise the Lord. And so it's a blessing to be here. I want to share with you some thoughts. As I know, we have begun the year and we are in the second month. But as I was waiting on the Lord, I feel to just share something that I've shared in Greenwich in times past. Been teaching of faith. And so I want to talk to you about having faith for the future. Having faith for the future, faith for your future in particular. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Say to your neighbor, fight the good fight of faith.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Yes, fight the good fight of faith. You know, the Christian life or the Christian journey is a life of faith. Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. And everything that we do in God's kingdom, if we're going to appropriate any promise that belongs to us, we do so by faith. I want to read a few more scriptures before I get into what I really want to share. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we're talking about having faith for our future. When you look into the future, what do you see? When you look into the future concerning your life, concerning your ministry, concerning your family, what do you see? You know, life is so interesting. It just seems like yesterday when I was in my 20s and now I'm in my 50s. Hey! So on that note, I want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit just to really speak to our hearts about faith for the future. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. The entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Holy Father, I ask that you anoint us with fresh oil to be able to hear and to be able to apply your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin to explore this topic about faith for the future, we need to be anchored in the truth of God's desire towards us when it comes to our future. God's heart for you and I concerning our future. A few things. We could say hundreds of things about God's heart concerning us, but I want to just highlight four things about his heart for you. First of all, God desires for us to have a hope and a future. To have a hope and a future. In other words, to have an expectation of the future that is hopeful for us. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God desires for us to have a future that we can look forward to and to have hope and expectation that we will be glad about. That's the first thing. Second thing, when we're talking about the future and God's desire concerning our lives, is this, that God wants us to know that it is well with us and that we will be rewarded for the good that we do. It is well with us and that we will be rewarded for the good that we do. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, he says, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, 11. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given to him. Beloved, whether you realize it or not, all of us will reap what we sow. Whatever we are sowing in our lives, we will eventually reap it. And therefore, for the righteous man, the righteous woman, when it comes to your life, because you've given yourself to doing what is right, it shall be well with you. It shall be well with you. Sometimes as you are serving God and seeking to honor him with your life, it can feel like things are just stagnant. Things are not going the way you think they should go. And if you are not careful, you can compromise on your values and shipwreck or short circuit the thing that God has ordained for you. But I am here to tell you, it shall be well with you. He says, say to the righteous, it shall be well with them. Why? It's because they will eat the fruit of their doings. So as long as you continue to sow the right thing, do the right thing, focus on the right things, and your life is given in the right direction, eventually you will harvest what you have sown. It's a law of sowing and reaping. But he says, concerning the wicked, it shall be ill with them. Why? Because they also shall harvest what they have sown. They will be rewarded, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. In other words, what they have given themselves to is what they will get. And I want to encourage you, beloved, not to allow the enemy to steer you away from the paths of righteousness. You know, the way of sin is attractive. At times, whenever you're tempted, the temptation is appealing. But in the long run, it is destructive to you. And so, say to the righteous, it shall be well. So, another reason why we must be anchored about the future is because God says it is well with us. And for us as his people, as long as we're committed to doing the right thing, it will be well in the end. The third point I want to highlight is this. God's desire is that we are not anxious about the future. That we are not anxious about the future. At times when people look into the future, they become anxious because of their sense of vulnerability. The sense that they don't think that they have any control about what is going to come their way. But I tell you, you have a lot more control than you realize. And part of what I want to share with you is to allow you to take hold of the reality, of the truth, that you have the ability to influence your future in the direction that God has for you. Can you say amen? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he says, therefore is there because of all the other things he has said. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, what he's saying is don't allow yourself to be anxious about the future. Because as far as the future takes care of itself. Deal with things now from God's perspective. In fact, the context is that he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you desire, your legitimate concerns, will be added to you. And on the back of it, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. It doesn't mean you don't plan concerning the future, but you plan from a place of faith and not fear. You plan from a place of certainty and not unknowing. You see, faith is always certain. Faith always knows. Faith operates from a place of knowing, not wondering. Faith doesn't wonder, will it happen? Faith knows it will happen. So as we talk about the future, we need to recognize that we are not to be afraid of the future at all. About reports, about the future, about negative things, about what is happening in the world, about what failures you've had in the past and what you think you could have in the future. No. We are not to be anxious about the future. And then the fourth thing, I want you to know that God desires for us to believe him regarding our righteous desires. To believe God regarding your righteous desires. In Proverbs chapter 10 verse 24, the scripture says, the fear of the wicked will come upon him and the desire of the righteous will be granted. The desire of the righteous will be granted. In another place, in Psalm 145, and I want to read a few verses from Psalm 145, verses 15 to 19, talking about how God wants to grant us our righteous desires. He says this, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. So what he's saying is this, those who learn to look to him will have him meet them with their necessary food in due season. In that verse, that which they need and desire and require. God will provide for you in your due season. And one of the things you have to learn is the timings of God. The timings of God for your life. There are seasons where God will bless you and allow you to enter into certain things. And there are seasons where God will shut certain doors to you so that you are protected from them. There are seasons when you are supposed to get married. And there are seasons when you're supposed to have children. And there are seasons when you're supposed to go to this job and do this and do that. Now, many times, people do not discern the timings and seasons of God for their life. And when certain seasons pass, they want to recapture it. But it's too late. No, I'm serious. Because at times, there is a certain time people are supposed to get married. And when they don't get married at that time, it's not time for marriage anymore. Hallelujah. That's how it is. That's how it is. You know, sometimes when people are young, and please, I'm not picking on anyone, right? I'm not picking on anyone. But sometimes, you know, the ladies, you know, when you are young and very beautiful and, you know, your body is, you know, very, you know, something. You think, and then the guys come to you and say, oh, sister, you know, I think you're beautiful. I like you. And so you are relying on your beauty. But your beauty will only take you for so far in time. Everything with us eventually. So if you don't get it right, after a while, the very people you went to, you'll be begging and they won't look in your direction. So you must learn to discern. That's a word for somebody. So you must learn to discern the timings. Sometimes, listen, don't be so fussy. I just want to throw that in. Don't be so fussy, brothers and sisters. Because not always will you look the way you look. Handle the things you handle. They will release themselves over time. Hallelujah. All right. Anyway, you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Now, this here is a double, has a double edge to it. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Now, I believe that this scripture is far more than just God providing for needs, in that God will allow you and I to have our true desire. And sometimes that true desire is detrimental. Sometimes that thing, that true desire is something that will destroy you. When the woman saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes and a food to make one wise, something to make one wise, you know, she ate it. She desired it and God did not stop her. And then she gave it to the man and like a pleb, he ate it as well. Standing next to him, watching the whole thing, kept quiet because of her beauty. I don't know. Maybe I think that's probably what it was. Because the woman, I mean, the first one that God created, she must have been absolutely stunning. He gave the calculation, Charlie, if I don't eat, I lose this thing. God. And so they got their true desire and it destroyed them. So he opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. So be careful what you desire. And that's why, as I'm talking to you, one thing I want to say on the onset is desire righteous things for your life. Locate in God's word desires that God says you should have. And desire those things. And the things that are detrimental. You know, because sometimes you can desire something and it looks good, but the Bible is clear. For instance, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's clear. Yeah, but you know, I believe I could turn them to Christ. Perhaps you could, but do not be unequally. The path, in fact, the scripture says, the way of the transgressor is hard. So if you go a certain path, you might initially get some temporary pleasure, But the path you've chosen is hard. So be careful what you desire. Anyway, 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. In other words, God is not partial. Gracious in all his works. God is very understanding and very kind and very gentle. And that's the thing that is so wonderful about him. Therefore, when we're talking about things like these, we can have confidence in the character of God. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Again, hear the scripture. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, but he qualifies the kind of calling. Call upon him in truth. In other words, call upon him in reality. When you're calling upon God, you are willing to hear what he has to say. You are willing to listen to his word and to make decisions that he will approve of. God is not committed to carnal desires. He's not. He's committed to righteous desires. And so concerning your future, God is not committed to any fantasy you have about the future. But he's committed to his word and his will for your life. And that's why you as a child of God must learn to identify and discern what his word is concerning your life. I remember many, many years ago when our church began, many of the students, I would encourage them to pray into their future after they finish university. When they start to begin to pray into their jobs, the kind of jobs they wanted, the kind of finance they wanted. So they'll pray into it. So I don't think there was any of them who left university and didn't enter into a job and into the kind of job that they wanted in those early days. Because they listened to the counsel. There is a way by which you can partner with God to enter into the future he has designed for you. Now, although this is not quite true, what I'm about to say, there's a lot of truth to it in that, in one sense, you don't exercise faith to change the future. You exercise faith to align yourself with God's will concerning your future. Now, that is true to a certain degree, but the truth is, you can exercise faith to change the future that God intended you to have. You can use your faith in a bad way, and that the future you have is not the future God desired for you. Yeah. He says, he's near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. You see, that's what he's committed to. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. So who are those who fear him? Those who honor him, who reverence him, who have prioritized him, are the ones he will commit to seeing their desires met. Why? Because such individuals, their desire aligns with his will. Now, these truths that we're sharing, they are wonderful. But they are of no use to us unless we are willing to embrace them by faith. So any truth in God's word that we discover, unless we are willing to use our faith, those truths will be of no use to us. If we want to please God, we must have a good grasp of what it means to be walking by faith and walking in faith so that we are able in every step of the way to please God. Like he says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. New Living Translation says, we live by believing and not by seeing. We live by believing and not by seeing. This is how the kingdom of God operates. That you learn to exercise your faith. What is that? You exercise your ability to believe. Faith is simply belief. Belief. Being persuaded about something. And Bible faith is where we believe that God's word is true. Whether it's the written word or the spoken word to us. Whether it's a word that applies to us specifically in a given context. Or the word that applies to us generally as we learn through the scriptures. Faith is the ability to believe God's word. And when you believe God's word, depending on the context of it, you will find it will benefit your life. It will benefit your life. I want to read a certain scripture that underscores this point. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading this in New Living Translation. And he says this: by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself, by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So what he's saying to us, what I want to highlight is this point that God has, first of all, created a context for us. He's given us everything we need to live a godly life. Everything we need. So we do not lack. And then the second point I want you to see is that he's given us great promises and precious promises so that when we embrace these promises, we are able to share in his divine nature. But how do you embrace these promises? By faith. By simply believing them. Now, even though faith is simple, faith can also be very challenging. And when it comes to your future, you must allow faith to play its role for your future. So, you shouldn't try to use your faith to change your future per se, but you should use your faith to align your lives with God's future for your life. Yeah. So it's not just that you're believing, you know, I want a million pounds. But is that what you should have? Is that what you are believing for by revelation? Now, over the years, I have learned how to recognize when the Spirit speaks. I remember the other day, I needed some money and I was praying into it. And then I had a dream. And in that dream, somebody was giving me like something like £2,000. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was enough for what I needed. And so when I woke up, I stood on it and I claimed it. And I said, I received this. I called it for it because I needed money. I was desperate. Within a few days or maybe a week or so, I noticed a whole influx of pounds. Thousands came rushing my way quickly. So I grabbed them all. Hallelujah. In response to my faith. Now, that was a very simple example of how some of these things work. Where God sometimes will speak to you through the scriptures or speak to you through prophetic revelation or whatever. And you must use your faith in that instance to grab it. At times when we have these kind of things, when God speaks to us this kind of way, we ponder too much. Rather than, I thank you, I receive it, it's mine in Jesus' name. So sometimes, for instance, as I'm sharing, sometimes in your spirit, maybe there's some things that God has been dealing with you about, speaking to you about, that you are very clear in your mind that God has been speaking to you. Well, I want to give you a secret. As I am speaking, you say, yes, Lord, I receive. Yes, Lord, thank you. Because that's one of the things I learned as a young believer. When the preacher was preaching, I'll be sitting there and I'll be listening to see whether God will speak. Speak to me about something I'm praying about. The minute I hear it, I'll say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll say amen to it and seal it in my life forever. May that be your portion. So you must learn to use your faith to align yourself to God's will for your life. Now, there is a dimension to faith where you can literally desire something for your life that is not God's best. And it will come to pass. And that's the danger of faith. You see, our Lord taught us in Luke 17 that your faith can so mature that it becomes your servant that does what you will at your beck and call. I want to encourage you, if you want to learn more about that, go on YouTube and Joseph Boydu, there's some teaching we've done on faith, and then you know, subscribe and then you get it for free. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to help you. Now, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, for whatever reason, will allow us at times to have things that we desire that are bad for us. Because he will never overrule your will or your human dignity to choose. I'll give you an example. An example is Hezekiah the king when he fell ill. Isaiah 38 verses 1 to 5 outlines this fact where he became ill. And then God spoke to Isaiah the prophet and said, go and tell Hezekiah. That says the Lord, set your house in order for you shall die and not live. That was the prophetic word. You shall die and not live. How would you like it if the man of God came and said that over you? You're sick. You want to get well. And then he says, God says, you shall die and not live. You would also, you would obviously call him a false prophet, most of you. You say things like, I don't receive, minus me, or stuff like that. But it was God's will for Hezekiah. So what does Hezekiah do? Verse 2. It says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now, translation of this prayer is this. God, this is not fair. This is not right. I have done what is right. It is not righteous for you to allow me to die at this time. In another place, he actually talks about the fact that he had no children at this point. He had no children. In another, in the Kings, I think, when it's narrated, he actually says he has no children, you know, and he's going to die without an offspring. And he had no children. So as he prayed this prayer, exercised his faith in prayer, God then speaks to Isaiah in verse 4. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will add to your days 15 years. And so that's what happened. In fact, God even gave him a sign. And he had 50 more years. And everybody celebrated. But they were a disaster for Hezekiah. After that time, within 3 years, he gives birth to his son, firstborn, Manasseh. Wow. Happiness filled the palace. And then people heard about his miracle. And even Babylon, the great Babylon, heard. And they sent an envoy, delegation, to show respect and to come to Hezekiah. And what did Hezekiah do? He paraded Judah, the kingdom, to Babylon. This is my kingdom. Look at the Palace Solomon's temple. You know, the golden and the bronze shields and the golden disc and all the beauty, the splendor of the kingdom. He showed it to the envoys of Babylon, the Chaldeans. And they said, ah, this is very good. This is very, what is that? And how did that? And they made notes. They made notes. You know what happened later? They came back, not with a delegation, with an army. And took the whole thing. But apart from that, what happened? His firstborn, Manasseh, was the most wicked king that Israel, Judah had ever had. And not only that, he was the longest reigning as well. He was wicked and reigned, wouldn't die. 55 years he reigned. Nobody had reigned. David reigned 40 years. Solomon 40. Manasseh 55. And not only that, Hezekiah himself changed. In 15 years, he changed. He became wicked and started to oppress the people. He became proud. You see, he should have died on schedule. Thank you. He's a good teacher. On schedule. He should have died. You see, and so that is why you must learn to discern the times and seasons for your life. Like, for instance, I'll give you a short testimony. When I had this affliction, the first thing I did was ask the Lord, is my time up? I wanted to check the records. But unfortunately, I got no answer. Silence. I said, oh, normally we have good relationship. I talk, you respond. You talk, I listen sometimes. I kept asking, is my time up? Is my time up? Silence, silence. Ah, it was baffling me. For months, when I was starting to get sick, I started. And then it dawned on me, God doesn't repeat unnecessarily. He has already told you when your time is going to come. Because I asked many years ago, I decided, let's just cut to the chase. When am I going to die? I need to know so that I know how to do some things, you know. So he told me. So the time that he told me,
does not correspond with now. So I realized I have to use my faith to ensure that that which God has spoken remains. You see. And if I don't use my faith, then the likelihood is that I will die before my time. Yes. So you have to learn to discern times and seasons. And when it comes to your future, you have to allow yourself to identify what God has said. This is the key. The word of the Lord concerning your life is the key. You see, the whole universe is held together by God's word, by his powerful word, or by his rhema word. So, when you are looking at the future, it's not so much that I would like to have this, I would like to have that. No. First of all, you need to locate in scripture what the scriptures say about the kind of future righteous people should have. You see, for instance, there is a psalm, I think it's 112 or 113, I'm not sure, 112, where it talks about the blessings of the righteous. I think I've said this in this church before. And it says, wealth and riches are in his house, his righteousness endures forever. So when I read that scripture, and I know how I live, I know that I can claim that as a promise for my posterity, that wealth and riches is in my lineage. And that my righteousness, you see, your descendants shall be great. Amen. Reverend, I tell you. Yes, your descendants shall be great. Amen. I tell you. Great leaders will come out of you. Amen. I tell you. I tell you. This is what I see. Your descendants shall be great. Amen. Because of your righteous stand. Yes, because of your righteous stand. Let me tell you something. You discern from the scriptures, first and foremost, what the scriptures say about you, about us. Before you start tailor-making something for yourself, be very clear what the scriptures say. That's so important. And then you seek the Lord about specifics when it comes to your life. But most people, they ignore what the scriptures say, and they have this thing. I'm going to be the financier of the church. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. We've heard that for years, you know. But they don't even know how to handle money now. So how can you finance? How can you enter your own when you're not faithful with what belongs to somebody else? No, that's not that way. So when you're using your faith, you first must identify what God's word says about you and about the future. It is so important. And remember one thing about God's word. It never changes. So when God speaks to us about something, if it is God, the key is we must first of all be clear. Is this God or not? Once you know it is God, understand that he doesn't change his mind. At times, people are so funny. The Lord told them to do this work. Then the Lord told them to change his mind before they started. Then he told them to do something that is opposite to what he told them. You know how many times God has apparently told people to marry the same person? Three men to marry the same woman. According to them, God told them to marry her. What kind of confusion is that? Or one man, four sisters, they all have heard God, that's my husband. But the guy is already married. I mean, come on. No, God's word does not change. God is not schizophrenic. He doesn't have mental challenges like we do at times. No, he doesn't. He says, I am the Lord and I do not change. I change not. And so we must be clear. Is this God? Circumstances may change. We may change. Those we trust may change, but God does not change. And he will not change when it comes to you and when it comes to your future. So you must learn to take hold of what he has said to you. Many of us, God has spoken things, and we are still wanting to hear more things. And what he's already told us, we have not even acted on it. In fact, we've even forgotten. It's like, what's the next revelation?
What's the next prophecy? What's the next prophecy? No, no, it doesn't work that way. Now, many times when God gives you prophecies about your future, it is so that you are able to use them to fight the resistance that you will face concerning that future. When God says this room will be full, and you start declaring it, then the room gets empty. Starts getting empty and empty. So I settled it. I said, I am willing to be embarrassed by making statements that make me look stupid. Yeah. Over time, as you hold on to the word of God itself begins to operate. Yes. Because God is committed to his word. He's committed to his word. Now, how you allow God's word to operate is by how you use your faith. And how does faith express itself? In our heart, what we believe, and in our mouth, what we say. So, you believe what God says, and then you speak it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13, he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak. So, when God gives you a word, the first thing is you must believe it. When God speaks to you about your future, you must believe it. And that's why at times you should write it down. You should speak it out. You should share it with people you trust. This is what God said to me. I remember when the Lord told me that Aisha was my wife. I remember when I told my friends, they said, hey, Joe, are you sure? No, they said, are you sure? I said, yes. So, the snag was, at the time, Aisha was dating somebody else. Bishop will tell you. But he stood with me. Reverend stood with me. I don't know if you remember. He stood with me. He said, Joe, I stand with you. Some friends did not stand with me. Yeah. And I remember it looked ridiculous. And the Lord, not only did the Lord say, this is your wife, he said to me, they will never get engaged or get married. And if either happens, you will not have spoken to me, but it will never happen. That is your wife. I said, okay. And he didn't look it. So I would tell people, I'll tell my friends, the Lord said, that is my wife. That is my wife. And so by the power of divine confessions and declarations, she came and proposed 3 times. Yes. Amen. That is what happened. Yes. Why wouldn't she? You look at this man. The point I make is, but the first stupid, I remember my sister came to me one day and said, Joe, are you sure about this thing about Aisha? Because she said you're weird. You keep looking at her in church. And Sandra's really naughty. You know? She was lying. She was testing my faith. I said, well, if she's saying that, I don't know what's wrong with her. It's her loss. But God has spoken. And my sister said, hey, how can you be so strong like that? I'm lying. So I don't care whether you're lying or not. I didn't. Once you have faith, you're not interested in how it looks. You know what you've heard. That's how faith works. Now, I'm using that simple illustration to highlight a point about your future. You should start declaring what God has said to you about your future, about your music, about your profile. You should start declaring it. You should start declaring it. What God has said to you about your future, about what you are supposed to do as a lawyer. You should start declaring it. You should start declaring it. At least that's what I see. That's why I said it to you. You should start declaring it. Yes, not, I know a few of I'll pass my exams. Nonsense. It's not about the exams. Many failures are still lawyers, but you won't fail in Jesus' name. I don't know if you know, I've forgotten what you're studying. I don't even know. But the point I'm making is this, is that what God has spoken to you, you believe it and then you speak it. That's how faith works. You believe it and then you speak it. You believe it. And so as you learn to operate your faith, he will begin to show you things. Different things about different aspects of your life. And you must learn to embrace all of them into your spirit and declare them. And as you do so, you will begin to build your future. The future that God has ordained for you by your faith. So for instance, as a church, you should declare what you want to see in this church. You should declare it. You should declare, if you want better musicians, not better, I mean, the musicians are amazing, but sorry, that came out wrong. No. That came out wrong. No. Additional musicians, not better. Additional. That came out wrong. Look, trust me, you have fantastic musicians. I've been trying to find some style, you know, to... But Reverend Don Prez is very smart, very clear. Joe, what are you saying? It won't work. So what you want to see in the church, you declare it. You declare. And sometimes, the way faith is, you are declaring into existence sometimes things that you yourself may never enjoy, but those coming after you will enter the fullness. That's what he said. These all died by faith, not obtaining, but they saw it afar off. So you believe and you speak. You believe and you speak. You believe and you speak. Look at what he says in the same scripture. I want to read the scripture to you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, New Living Translation. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Look at verse 10. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It's by believing in your heart that you're made right. So the believing changes us internally. But the confession makes it manifest externally. Yes. And that's why you must look at what you are believing. What are you believing about your future right now? What are you believing? Yeah. What are you believing about your future? Oh, I don't know if I'll ever make it. I don't know if I'll ever find the money. I don't know. That is what you are. I don't know if the money, where's the money going to come from? Who's going to help me? How's this going to work out? No. That's not how you do it. No, you discern what God has said. And sometimes I'll remind him, Lord, you said to me this. Therefore, bring it to pass. This is what you said. We're not making up. Honestly, at times I'll tell the Lord, Dad, this is what you said. I'm not making it up. I was sitting there minding my own business and I heard this by the Spirit. And now I'm doing it and I'm looking like an idiot in front of people. Lord, vindicate your servant. Justify me before all. Yeah. That's what you've got to learn to do. Declare what you believe. And believe what you declare. Yeah. God's word is so important. Both what is in scripture and what he has spoken to you. God's word, not your opinions. God's word, not the opinions of others. God's word, not your experiences. God's word is what you believe. And then you confess it. You confess it. So some of the things you do is, apart from what he's told you, you confess that, but also you reinforce it with scripture. You reinforce it with scripture. So for instance, I know I'll live, but then I'll declare the scripture. I shall live and not die, and declare the works of God. I shall live and declare to the generation to come your power. I will show it to them. I will make known your manifold wisdom. Yeah. You declare the word, the scriptures. You allow that to reinforce what you have heard God speak to you as a rhema word. Confess the word of God. Confess the word of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Words are powerful. Look, if you would love life and see good days, he says, make sure that your tongue does not speak evil. Refrain from evil. Now, evil basically is words that are injurious, words that are harmful, words that are unhelpful. Refrain your tongue from that. You know what I've discovered? Most Christians will not speak evil about other people, but are quick to speak evil about themselves. About themselves, especially to themselves, when things are not going well for them. But look at the next thing. He says, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Deceit is basically things that are false. So when you say things about yourself that are false, you are short-circuiting your ability to enjoy life and see good days. Yeah. Don't speak bad things about yourself to yourself.
It's called inner vows and inner curses. You're literally cursing yourself. And also, don't speak bad things about those under your sphere of influence. No. You know, one of the things I learned very early is to declare over CLF and over my leadership teams that I have the privilege to serve with, things that are, when they hear, they'll be happy. So I'll say things like, I have the best team. Me, I don't. Sometimes when I meet some of my pastor friends, and sometimes when they complain about the church, I say, wow, my church is not like that at all. No, my people, no, they will not do that at all. Meanwhile, maybe I might be going through something. But I will not say it. No. In fact, I find sometimes even before the Lord, when I'm praying, if I'm beginning to complain about things in the church, sometimes he will rebuke me. Say, I don't want you to talk like that. Don't talk like that. Yeah. So that we change the prayer quickly. You know, Lord, I'm not really happy about, and then the rebuke, boom. I'm not really happy about, you know, thank God for their life. You know, thank God that they're there. Thank God. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. You know, it's good that they're there because they're showing me how carnal I can be. You know, Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, I wanted to say, Lord, you know, I think you should really punish them. I mean, you should really deal with them. But as I open my mouth, rebukes. Yeah. So watch what you say. Watch what you say about yourself. Because your words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Your words are powerful. And those who love it eat the fruit thereof. Your words are powerful. Your words can bring death and it can produce life. So let it produce life concerning your future. One of the things I learned many years ago is to write down the things I believe God wants me to enter into. And also, I then learned another secret is to put dates to what I believe God wants me to do. And this is how I began to learn how to plan prayerfully concerning the church activities and into this year and the year coming, because I would talk to the Lord about it. I remember 2 years ago, as I was praying into last year, as I would look into last year, when I look into like August, it was like blank. Now, I put some plans then. So as I would look, it would be like blank, and I'd be like, ah. So I even asked, why am I going to die in August? What's happening? What's happening from that time on? I even asked the question. I was like, no, you will not die. So okay, fine, I just want to check, because when I try, I can't see anything. It's like blank. So I even told the office, I said to the office, all these dates from this point, take them out of the calendar. I told them, take them out. You could go and check them. Because when I looked in the spirit, I couldn't see. It's like, I'm not doing these things anymore. I felt, no, don't do this anymore. You plan these things, cut them out. Because as I would talk to the Lord, I'll talk to him. You know, Lord, I feel we should do this. I feel we should do that. That's how I learned to begin to discern his mind about the future. Because as I pray into it, when I say talk, I'm praying. I'm talking to him. At times I'll get a sense of peace. At times I feel uneasy. And I'll be like, this seems like a good idea. But I'm not at rest. I'll put a big question mark. And sometimes I'll just cancel. I say, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I'm just canceling. And through that, you begin to get a picture. So what happened was, I canceled all these things. And guess what happened? It was in August, September, that I was diagnosed. So if I had all these plans in place, it would have been a big headache for all of us. Yes. And I remember also, like, I'll travel when I went on missions. As I would pray into it, I'd say, mm-mm. I'd tell them, I won't be coming to India next year. I won't be coming to Kenya next year. I feel that, no, the next 2 years, I won't be coming. Oh, that's what I could see. Why am I saying that? Because as you learn to talk to God about your future, the Spirit of God, he says he will show you things to come. He will speak to you. He will show you things to come. He will lead you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. Yeah. So pray into it. And then once you discern it, declare it. Declare it. So I encourage you with these words. Have faith for your future. And I conclude with this. Your future must be governed by God's word. Your future must be governed by God's word. And you must intentionally speak into your future what you see in God's word. Your future must be governed by God's word. Not by your feelings, not by your failures, your emotions, by God's word. Your future must be governed by God's word. And then you must speak intentionally what you have seen in God's word about your future. This is how you have faith for your future. And then the third thing is, you prioritize first the kingdom of God and his righteousness regarding the future. You prioritize that as your first thing, as your first priority. When you do that, as you seek God about your future, and you prioritize first the kingdom of God, things that you haven't even thought of that will help you will come your way. Yeah. So I encourage you. You are a child of God. Your future is not in the hands of the world, in the hands of the government. Your future is in God's hands, but it's also in your hands. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. We're going to pray. I want us just to stand, rise to our feet. Just feel free to help me. Hallelujah. And we talked about the future. I want to, first of all, pray into those of us that have been feeling anxious about the future. If you've been feeling anxious about the future, I want you to raise your hand where you are. Just raise one hand. I want to see you. I want to pray for you. Just raise your right hand so that I can see. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. I don't want you to come to the front right now. So as you're there, I want you to raise your two hands to the Lord and begin to thank him for the word that you've heard about your future. And tell him that from today, you refuse to be anxious. You refuse to be anxious. You don't know what the future holds, but you refuse to be anxious. And you're going to discover what the future holds. Tell him, Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but I am going to discover through your word what the future holds for me. I know that you have an expectation of my future. That my future, you have a hope and a future that has an expected end. I know this, that the thoughts about my future you have are good and not evil. Thank you, Lord. I know, Father, that you want me to have righteous desires concerning my future. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands, worship him. Lebro, Sambra, Sandra. Lord, we thank you for the reality that we can have faith for the future, because our future has already been determined by you. And that what we need to do is to align ourselves with your word. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Come on, just thank him. Lord, those of you that lifted your hands that were feeling anxious, begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you. Begin to bless him. Libro sabra ba 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 ba. Ya sore ba 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 ba. Thank you for the future, Lord. Thank you for the present, but thank you for the future. Libre be 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 be. I come against the spirit of anxiety. Those of you that were feeling anxious, place your hand on your chest. Libro sabra se brikabo. I come against the spirit of anxiety that has been tormenting you, that's been unsettling you. I rebuke it, command it to loose and leave you. Place your hand on your forehead. I speak peace over you right now. The peace of God to begin to govern your heart and your mind. Santoria sarro sebreta. E rombre cabre se toca. Lebro se rica bahanda. You will not miss it concerning your future. You will fulfill God's purpose for your life. Oh, Santa Riva, Cobre Sabaya. Just let's worship him. Let's keep worshiping him.